Elliot.
Hello.
Did you see the interview with Hampus on HLTV?
I did, and all I can think about now is the size of Hampus's balls. I think he needs to do an Alu reveal.
An Alu reveal? Or
an Alu, like Alu did, where Alu, you know, he posted his balls on Twitter for everyone to see. For reference, for those of you who haven't seen the article, the headline is, Hampus on playing with config, it's nice to not have the biggest balls anymore. Now, is that nice?
I don't, you know, well, I mean, on like a Counter-Strike level, I guess it's nice that Hampus doesn't have to be the first guy in every time and doesn't have to be the uber aggro.
But he wasn't.
Play, but on the other hand, fuck it.
Surely you want, there's a finite amount of room for balls in a Counter-Strike team. All of Furious is taken up by Art.
Yeah, for Art has all of them. Yukindar has all of them for Liquid. Yeah. Which is why, what we'll talk about later, the Liquid moves.
We don't need loads of balls to have a successful team.
You need like 1/5 balls, 20% balls.
Yeah. And, you know, some teams can be like 30%, where you got one player who's very, look, he can be aggro, whatever. You don't need that many balls.
Like 15 to 30% is like your good bit, right? But you don't want more than 30% because at that point you're just an ESEA main team.
At that point you're more ball than man. And you don't want to be just, more ball than
you're
man.
You're just a five of a Russian five stack. Like,
you know that episode of South Park where everyone's testicles become swollen, they're carrying them around in wheelbarrows? That's Hampus and Convict showing up to events. They're balls and wheelbarrows.
Welcome to Overtime on Inferno Season 6. The quickest show. Oh my god, I forgot how the fuck we do this intro.
The ballsiest show.
The ballsiest show in all of Counter-Strike.
We are more balls than man.
Quicker than Elliot and I can totally disrupt our entire flow. If you could rate reviews by the end of the episode, that really help us. I'm Logan. This is AZ-esque. Let's get into it. All right. Big show today. This will be, and I seriously mean this, almost certainly the longest episode of Overtime Inferno we've ever done. Because Whoa. There's just a large sheer amount of content. We have a lot of roster moves to go through.
Yeah, let's waste no time.
Yeah, let's waste no time. Okay, so I have an order here. It's not particular. It's the order in which I remembered that the roster moves happened. Okay, so, so I looked at my Twitter thread that I put, and then I started figuring out after that point, because I figured that was a pretty good starting place. And to be fair, I got all except for four. So we'll go through that. What we want to do is we want to go through each roster move. We want to talk about it. I want to talk about how much this actually matter, because we've seen roster moves in the past that don't matter at all. We've seen roster moves in the past that are super impactful. We've also seen roster moves that are super impactful in the wrong direction. A team got shittier. So we'll talk about that. And then at the end, we want to give a strong predictor based on the roster move and where we think that this will be roughly by roster, by like end of the year, by like December-ish. Yeah. Assuming we've moved over to, or by switch to CS2, I think we'll debate.
Yeah, anything after that is really hard to predict.
Yeah, it could be if we switch to CS2 in like September or something. We'll think about if we want to relook at this, because CS2 is just different enough that it matters. And we'll probably have a mini roster mania there as well. But we're gonna come back and look at these. We also have, if you're in our Discord, I asked quickly recently for other people to give their hot takes on some of these roster moves. So we're going to put them in here so that way in a couple months we can re-look back at them. So that's our plan. We're going to go through. We're going to give predictions on each of them. And we're going to say, how much does this actually matter? Why or how should you care? The first roster move is the only roster move on here that has yet to officially happen. Cloud9 minus Naphany, minus Buster, plus Electronic, plus Perfecto.
On paper, this is one of the best teams of all time.
On paper, this is the best Russian team of all time.
It's one of the best teams of all time. Specifically on paper. There is no flaw with this team. That's my actual take. There is no flaw in this team. And if they are bad, it's not an individual's thing.
No, I think if you really want to nitpick this. So first of all, the way that this move worked was super weird. So first of all, it has not officially been announced anywhere. It actually got rumored like very heavily between like people that we heard it from, and then Overdrive, and then HLTV heavily rumored it. But nothing's happened for like 2 weeks on it. We have heard absolutely fuck all. I don't think they're participating in Blast. We're recording on Thursday at noon. The EG Vitality game happened in Blast, and I think the NIP Complexity one has started. I think they're like halfway through map one. I don't think Cloud9's in the Blast event.
No, but the Cologne roster lock was also yesterday.
So I assume we'll hear about it soon, but a lot of these teams had to lock early because of Blast. The way this move was originally reported was not with Nafani. It was a super weird way that this was reported, because it was Hobbit and Buster.
Yeah.
For Electronic and Perfecto. So it was originally going to be Shiro, Axile,
Nafani,
Electronic, and Perfecto. And then, I mean, like that's even what I reported, like what I put out into the world was supposed to be minus Hobbit. And like 2 days later, it came out that they were thinking about Nafani instead, which I think was community agreed it should have been Nafani and not Hobbit.
It's difficult. I actually wouldn't have minded to see the team with Nafani, but with Hobbit, firepower wise, this team is ridiculous.
I think that it was a crossroads on how the team wants to behave. Because I think if you take Nafani out, or if you leave Nafani in, right, and take Hobbit out, then you're sticking to Nafani is the IGL, and you want the Perfecto from a year and a half ago that was the right-hand man on Na'Vi. That was your second big firepower bit, right? And you're going to lean into the Nafani leading in the Nafani system. When you remove Nafani and bring in Electronic, right, you're going to get the same player, but now you get the IGL version of Electronic, which is a different version of Electronic, not a bad version.
But it's still better than Nafani.
Yeah. Not a bad version. Like, I'm not rating the versions of Electronic here, but you get a different version of Electronic, and your team goes in a different direction now.
Yeah.
So,
This team should be brilliant. Like,
this team should be awesome.
They should be incredible. And if they're not, we have to consider the idea that Nafani wasn't the problem. Shiro and Axile are just bottlers.
Yeah,
this team has to win stuff.
I think I saw somewhere online of like Blade reacting to the changes, and Blade was like, "Yeah, this team's fucking stupid."
Yeah,
but like in a good way, stupid. He's just like, this team's ridiculous, right?
It's giga stacked. Like, yeah, bro, they've got Electronic and Perfecto, who are two very important pieces of a major winning team. Shiro and Axile, who are largely considered one of the best doubles in the world, and Hobbit, who is being the third player, he was the second player on a major winning team and was the third player on Cloud9 when they were the best team in the world. Consistently been a big game player and is essentially just a very well-rounded player with very few flaws, if any. There is no problem with this team unless you don't believe Electronic is a great in-game leader. And I'm still not sure that matters.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think it matters that he's not Kerrigan.
Yeah. All right, so let's do it this way. How much should we actually care about this move?
A lot.
Yeah, I'm agreeing a lot. This could take a team that was bottling it every minute and bring it like to a number one team in the world. I think that's truly believed. And in addition, something else about this move. This is not a move that could be worse than they were. There is no, like, if this move completely flops, at worst, they are exactly as good as they were before.
Yeah, I think that's
true. This move is only upside. This is not a floor move. This is a ceiling move.
Yeah.
It should be a floor
move. It's probably both, yeah.
It's probably both, but if everything
goes... It should be the box plot has literally just shifted upwards. Yeah,
if everything goes to shit, they still should be a better team than they were Well, today still, because they haven't announced the move.
They should win everything.
Yeah, so...
They probably will.
Predictions from the Discord. fucking Christ. The first one that's Cloud9 related. Cloud9 will actually be worse than when they had Naphne.
No.
Based predictions here.
No.
It's wrong. Like, so it's wrong.
It's not even Naphne that's the problem. It's like, you've got rid of Buster. Buster is not it, bro. I know he's had like difficult roles and shit. He's not him, man. He is just bad.
One of our writer Horizons take, Cloud9 won't win shit, but look more fun and will sign Jerry during the next player break, which I think is a based ass take.
They might not win everything.
I don't think they will win everything, but
supposedly Jerry's going to like some Russian betting team, right?
Yeah, I thought that there was TSM thoughts of. I fucking forgot to put TSM on my list.
That one's not confirmed. It's fine.
Yeah, but okay. Harry Nero from HLTV. Cloud9 will win Cologne.
Yeah,
I think that's a reasonable take.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that take.
He's also a massive Cloud9 fanboy. I will say that he loves Shearer.
Yeah. I think my take for this team is this is a number two team by the end of the year. I don't think they're number one because I think that they still have some of that that bottle energy in them.
Heroic Vitality Cloud9 should be the top three by September. Yeah. By the end of the year, I think Heroic might drop
off. The problem. There's so many good teams that are like not this one, and there's so many other teams that got better over the offseason that, like, yes, on one hand, this team is like could be one of the best teams of all time. On the other hand, Vitality still exists.
Yeah, Vitality will be around.
Yeah,
Heroic will be around, but I think this Cloud9 team might be better. Honestly,
let's talk about Vitality. So Vitality did one move in the offseason. Pros and analysts have deemed this to be a good move.
It is a good move.
Fans are split because I see a lot of fans that are like, why'd you do this? So the move that they did was they removed Dupree and they added Sphinx. Not Sphinx, sorry, Flamesy. The other Israeli. And Vitality themselves, they said they were not planning on making any roster changes. And then Flamesy became available.
I mean, the move makes sense. Like, I love Dupree, and I think legacy-wise, I don't think he's touchable. But...
Yeah,
you have to replace when you're on top and you have the best pool. Like, there's so many examples from quote unquote real sports where teams have been on top, not made any changes because why would you change a winning team, or like signed depth instead of improvements, and then they've started treading water as other people have taken over. Like, in a year, Dupree's old, man. Like, in a year's time, he might not be any good anymore. He's already started to dip a little bit, which is fine. Flames is about as close to a great replacement for Dupree as you will ever find. Like, he is, other than a young Dupree, he's probably the best player you could possibly get to replace Dupree. Like, he's really good, man.
He's really fucking good.
And he's so like, he's so happy to be aggressive and to anchor on CT side. Like, he did not have superstar roles on OG that maybe he should have done. He had aggressive anchor roles, kind of similar to like Rush when he was on Cloud9, like those sort of roles, and was still putting up pretty solid numbers. The kids got it.
Yeah. I think this was a really good move. I think this was a good move of circumstance, because I truly don't think that Vitality would have done anything in the offseason if Flamesy had not become available. I think jumping on it, there was a Flamesy sweepstakes for a minute, right? Of like, I know Liquid was trying for him. I think, was it Mouse or Fnatic that was trying for him as well?
Fnatic, I mean, yeah.
Fnatic. There were a couple teams that were looking to try and get Flamesy. He ended up going to the current major winners. And
that's another advantage of making a change when you're the best team in the world. Players want to join you.
Yeah. Yeah. So how much should we care about this move? I'm going to put it more towards the middle. Like, we should care about it a little bit, but not a huge amount.
It's not a groundbreaking move in the short term. It's one that keeps Vitality moving forward. So it's a positive move for them, but not a massive.
Yeah, it's a positive move. I just don't think that, like, you're not going to see the move. You're not going to see the benefits of the move. Now, that's partially because Vitality is the best team in the world right now, and I think this move just makes it better, so they'll just stay number one. But I don't think that this move is like, this move isn't Cloud Nine where it's like, you're the 20th place team in the world. And like, we think you can be the second best team or anything like that. It matters a lot then. Right. Or
yeah,
if you're like the 12th best team in the world and become the 30th best, like, I think this will be a roughly net neutral move, but good for the future. Right. Like,
we're, I think we're, it's probably ahead, slightly net positive.
Yeah. And over time, net positive. I think today it's a
really good move. It's not a massively impactful one because they were already there. I think
this is,
this, you're not moving, like, the needle because the needle's already at the top.
Yeah, this is like those moves in the NBA where you, like, you sign the I'm trying to think of one of them right now, but it's like you sign the player and it's like it doesn't change anything, but on the other hand it changes everything and you, like, think towards the future.
Yeah.
All right, another think towards the future move. Oh, do we have any Vitality predictions? We have none. Okay.
Everyone knows they're just going to be good.
The prediction is Vitality is still the number one team in the world next time we do this.
Yeah.
Which is an absolutely reasonable prediction.
Or at least top three. Like,
top three, top two, somewhere there. Let's talk about Evil Geniuses.
I've got something I need to say about them that I can't say on air.
Okay. So we'll talk about Evil Geniuses without Elliot's...
Whatever. They shit the bed. They tried to sign a super team, quote unquote.
Yeah, so can we, let's before we talk about what they actually did, let's talk about what was heard. There was talk of them signing Jax. There was talk of them signing, was Flame Z like one of the people?
They tried to sign Baros.
They tried to sign Electronic.
Electronic. They tried to sign Zorty.
I think that's it.
There were some others.
There was a
roster they were going to sign. It was like Automatic Zorty.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find it really quickly.
Oh man, it was some fucking weird ass team.
Yeah, it was.
It made no sense.
It was questionable. Jax, Zorty, Boros, like, fucking Christ.
I can't remember. Maybe
that, Elige.
Elige. Yeah, Elige.
There's so many teams, and I would like to just state, having absolutely zero inside information into Evil Geniuses, that Nafly had an interview with HLTV or Dust2, one of the two of them, last year, or 2 years ago, when it was rumored that Naf was going to, when Stewie left, and Naf was going to go with Stewie to EG, that Naf said, I cannot believe how shitty the management there was and how far behind they were as compared to Liquid. And that's why he stayed at Liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. So let's talk about what they actually
there did. Is a reason that you didn't hear about Elysia's move to Complexity until it happened.
Yep.
And it's not because they kept it under wraps for very long.
Nope. All right. Let's talk about what actually happened with Uji. So they tried for the moon. They shot for the moon, okay? They tried to get the best players in the world. They tried to create, what's that thing? A Colossus? A Juggernaut?
Yeah.
Something that all the other NA teams have tried to do. A Steamroller. That's what it's going to be called, the EG Steamroller.
Nice.
Instead, they kept Automatic and brought up four EG Black players. The only player they did not bring up was Rush, and I'm here for it.
It's kind of a no-lose move in that you were already losing anyway. So, like, you might as well give some time to the young players, and then people are willing to give you more, like, leeway.
They are now the second best North American team, and I can say that with absolute sincerity.
Only until M80 announced their roster.
Only until M80 announced their roster. That's another... We'll talk about that, too. Jesus Christ, there's so many teams I left off this list. Fine.
That one won't take long. It'll just be me preaching about mouths for 5 minutes.
Yeah. EG brought in George, formerly known as George Snort, Hexed, Walco, and Junior. They got absolutely smashed by Vitality earlier today.
Gooped.
On the other hand, I didn't expect them to not get smashed by Vitality earlier today.
I kind of thought they might get more than 9 rounds at a best of 3, but fine.
It was a little rough.
They got good.
I hope that this team will get better. Part of my problem with this, okay, they are playing better teams, so theoretically they should just get a little bit better because of that. They have the same coach. They didn't bring in a new coach, so Axe is still the coach. He's been the coach for this team when it was Carpe Diem, when it was RBG years and years ago. I think Walco and Hex are the only remaining people from that team, but he's been the coach for years on this for this group. They didn't bring in a new coach. Valens is still head of Counter-Strike there. So they're in a little bit of a weird position where I think they just added Automatic to a team that wasn't amazing and assuming it's going to get better. On the other hand, George put out an interview the other day with HLTV or Dust2. Again, I don't remember which one it is. The websites look too similar. and basically said, North American fans want a North American team with North American players on it.
Yeah,
and you know what? He's fucking right.
He is right. They do. That's what sucks. They want. They it don't even care if they're good half the time.
Yeah, it sucks that EG is the team, like, is like one of two like real North American teams right now, because I don't see the legs on this team. But on the other hand, fuck it, it's a North American team. They're gonna go get clapped internationally against the best team in the world, and we're gonna be okay with that because we have to go and sit and watch the United States men's national team at the World Cup, so we're used to it.
M80, bro. M80.
We'll talk about them later. All right, next team. Do we have any predictions for this? How much this move matters? 0%.
Yeah,
for what it's worth.
On a grand scale, it means nothing.
Yeah, on the grand scale, it means absolutely nothing. They may get better. They may get worse. They're just still gonna be. They'll be a bottom top 30 team. They'll be like 25 to 30 at best.
Maybe in North America.
It'll be the second best North American team that's currently announced right now.
Even that might be a stretch. Hang on. Let me have a look at some North American
teams. Wait, where's my party astronauts? It's on the wall over there.
Let me have a look at some United States North American teams. I mean, Nouns are probably better than them.
Maybe. Stamina's there now. Cynic's gone. I could see it.
We'll see.
Let's get to the other North American team. Complexity had, in my opinion, the best offseason that they could have had. Complexity did one move. They took away Fang, and they added Alish.
At the 11th hour. He was supposed to be going to EG, and then last moment, he went to Complexity. I don't think Complexity... I'm 90% sure Complexity had somebody else lined up for that spot.
Yeah.
And then had to tell them, shit, sorry. Elise is on the market.
It's the same shit as when you're, who was it? Knock, and you're like, we got Device coming in now.
Yeah, pretty much. And he was like, sorry, man, Elise is available. We've got to try for this. And he was like, yeah fine.
I don't think Fang would have been upset about it. To be fair,
Fang's been out for. He was told months ago he was out. It was they had somebody else lined up for that spot.
Yeah,
and had to tell him. Yeah, sorry.
Well, it's fucking Elise. Like, what are you gonna do? Yeah. Ceiling of this team considerably higher.
Yes,
but no.
But I don't think they'll reach that ceiling.
Yeah. So this is the bit. Alij is the best player currently that's playing in North America, supposedly. No. Do you think is
Naf?
Okay. Alij is the second best player currently playing in North America. He's been put on a team that has shown that there is a possibility that they may be okay at times and just increase their ceiling with the rifle core. I don't think that the floor of Alij is like lower than the floor of Fang. There's just no shot in the world. So you've increased the ceiling of this team. You're hopefully thinking that Alij will be like a nice veteran voice, because this team is super young, right? Like really young. And you hope that a change of venue, a change of space helps him regain the form he had in 2019.
Yeah. Right,
because he lost that in 2020, kind of brought it back in 2021, and it was iffy in 2022. You kind of hope that he brings that form back. Alicia's younger than I thought, which is insane. Alicia's 25 years old. It feels like he's 27, 28. He's bald now. He may get a buff from that. We've seen Crims play for about a million years, and he's pretty good. So,
so Elige at his peak is fearsome, but he hasn't been at that peak for a little while now. Yeah. And I'm just, I'm not sure he's the personality. Well, I mean, I don't know. Time will tell how he fits in personality wise with this team. I have a little.
You have trepidations.
Yeah. Trepidations is a good word for it. We'll see. Because I also don't think Complexity have individuals that are really good, mm-hmm. but they've never clicked for longer than like two games in a row.
Yeah.
And maybe Fang was the reason they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. The problem with Complexity is like, unless you start going international, I don't see a way you can build a better team with the parts that were available.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So like, you're kind of at a weird point anyway. So I'm game for them to try this Elige move, because if this Elige move doesn't work out, then it's bigger overall changes, right? Your best like free agents available are like Breezy.
Yeah.
And like, that's it.
Yeah, that one's,
you know. Like Rush, Stanislaw, but you're,
there's, you know, the ATK guys.
There's the ATK guys, but we'll talk about them later, because some of them aren't ATK guys. Well, won't be ATK guys anymore. All right, let's talk about how much does this move matter? It matters, but like, I don't know.
It matters. It's a big move inside of North America on the grand scale. On the global scale, it's quite a small move, I think.
Yeah, I think that this move just makes a team that would normally lose like 6-16 makes it a 9-16 loss team.
Yeah, it's almost certainly an improvement on Complexity.
Though, to be fair, I can see this team ripping heads off and being an insane underdog at tournaments.
Like, yeah, but I thought that a while ago, and it's never really.
It did for a little bit this year. For like 6 minutes this year, it was.
All right, yeah, and they still didn't qualify.
Let's talk about the last North American team, in which I have a note that says now classified as EU, which is Team Liquid.
Yep.
So before we talk about this move, I want to give props to Team Liquid, not for this move, but for the transparency in which happened around this move, because this is probably the biggest move this offseason on a pure pivot standpoint, right? Most other teams said we're just going to get a little bit better. Right, we're gonna get better. We're gonna pull these players from teams that were worse, but like really good players. We are going to get better. Liquid said we're pivoting. We're taking away Nitro's retiring, and we've had Elige on our team for like 8-9 years, and we're moving away from this. We're completely pivoting away from the franchise player, from everything else, and we're betting on Yekinder, and we're betting on Europe. And with that, they released a video of Steve. No, Victor. Not Steve. Steve's the NA one. Victor. Victor's the Dutch one. Of Victor and Steve. But this time I meant the team manager, Steve.
Fucking hell.
Fucking Steve's. Of Victor and Steve explaining North America and explaining why they were doing this. And I really, really thought that transparency was good. The move, minus Nitro to retirement, so Nitro. Elige goes to Complexity, and in comes Patsy from Spirit and Rainwaker from 500.
I would like to nickname this team the Jaeger Bomb.
I'm in. Why? Wait, please explain more.
So, you know how alcohol lowers your like heart rate and it's like a downer, but then if you mix it with Red Bull,
yeah,
it's like just does some your heart shit. Is going like this, it's going up down at the same time. Patsy and Yekinder on one end, Nafly and Rainwaker on the other. With fucking poor old OC in the middle, just trying to hold on to both ends like this. Patsy and Yekinda are two of the most aggressive players in the world, often on their own as well, like not even with a team. And you've got Naf and Rainmaker, who are both extremely passive, both closers, both very good closers in their own right. But it's like, this team is a complete dichotomy with itself. Like,
so remember how we talked about box plots earlier?
Yeah.
And we've been talking about ceiling and floor. This team has made their floor about 10 times lower and made their ceiling about 10 times higher. This will
That's it. Yeah, they're going to be wildly inconsistent, but they should be kind of fun.
Well, that's the thing. They'll be wildly inconsistent. So much fun to watch, though.
What I actually think will happen is that Yekinda will become... But yeah, I don't think he'll be as aggressive on the scene.
I think Yekindar will take Alige roles and Patsy will take Yekindar's roles.
Yeah, you're not going to sign Patsy to make him passive.
Yeah. I think this team has some weird shit on the way it's going to work out. But Rainmaker and Nitro actually have very similar roles to start with. And I think if Yekindar just takes Alige's star roles and Patsy takes like the hard entry roles Yekindar had before, I think that role wise it actually kind of works. But on the other hand, you have two of the most even Nitro was aggressive enough sometimes that like it worked out to a degree. Rainmaker so passive, and like Alige was passive at times, right, allowing Yekindar to be that uber aggressive player. Patsy is not.
Patsy's a live wire, but he is very talented. Rumor they were trying to sign like another aggressive player. Over Rainway. I can't even remember who it is, but there was a rumor.
So, how much does this move actually matter? A shit ton. This may be one of like on paper with Cloud9, at least for me, one of the bigger moves of the offseason.
The Na'Vi one's much bigger, but
okay, yeah.
But we haven't gotten this move could be really important, but yeah, it could just as easily just fall flat. It could mean nothing.
So here's a prediction. I want to talk about this. Liquid will look better and NA will be coping all season.
Better, yeah. They'll be better, I think. I'm not sure they'll win anything.
Yeah. I think that this team goes from a consistent sixth place to a wildly inconsistent fifth place.
Yeah. They can be a team who can go deep, but I'm not sure they'll win anything.
I think they'll be fun as shit to watch.
Yeah, they should be pretty.
In the NBA,
like, interesting.
In the NBA, there's this like concept called League Pass. Where you so if you're in an area or if you're in New York, you get the Knicks games and the Nets games on TV. And if you want to watch any other team, you got to hope they're playing the Knicks or the Nets or they're on national TV. But League Pass allows you to watch any team that's out of market. So there's this concept called League Pass teams of like, if you're bored and you want to watch basketball and there's basketball on, like, what are the best League Pass teams? What are the best out of market teams you should be watching? This is the League Pass team of Counter-Strike.
Yeah. Falcons. Falcons are a really good League Pass team.
We're about to talk about Falcons. Yeah, yeah. So
they're a good League Pass team.
Hold on your Falcons bit for a minute. Let's talk about where Patsy came from. I want to talk about Spirit for a second. Who like fell apart at the end of last year, at the end of the major cycle. Yeah.
Then they completely collapsed.
They collapsed. They looked like shit. They have completely retooled their team. So they kept Magix and Chopper, who was kind of the backbone of the team, and they replaced it with three young guns in Zontik, Art Frost, and the greatest name in all of Counter-Strike,
Donk. I'm told, I've not watched much Spirit Academy. I'm told Donk and Art Frost are crazy good.
Yeah. Spirit has had a very good track record of developing players. Maybe not for like the highest end of tier one, but they have developed a lot of very solid players.
Yeah.
There is no reason for me to start not believing in the Spirit Academy and scouting system today.
If Donk is as good as advertised, this team actually might just be spooky.
So let's be very clear here. This moves. It does not matter.
But it really could.
So there's a reason why I say it doesn't matter. Spirit before were your dark horse team in every event.
Yeah.
yeah, they could win it. They probably won't, but like, they could do a huge amount of damage. They're going to continue to be that exact same team. I don't think this is a team that's going to be...
I don't know. Like, I haven't watched enough of Donk and Art for us to know, but like, the noises you hear about... The kid's 16, by the way. Like, it might take 2 years, I guess, but...
So this is my like official prediction is I think this team will be exactly as good as Spirit was a year ago when they were the continuous like dark horse. They'll make major at the playoffs. They'll make playoffs at the major. They'll be in playoffs at most events, but you're never going to think of them as a favorite. You're never going to think of them as like, this is the team. They will always be the dark horse. And I think
they're going to take a little while, and then they will. They'll have like a coming of age.
Coming of age story. We're going to have a nice like Hallmark May movie
or something. Yeah, yeah. Like they'll have like one event where they pop off, and then they'll just be like, they'll just be a top team after that. In theory, I mean, you just never know how young players are going to develop. Especially, I think Art Frost is the sniper. Orping is always a big step up. Riflers can generally be, if they're a 1.3 player at like tier 2, tier 3, they'll generally be a 1.1 player at tier 1 pretty much regardless. Snipers can fall off heavily when they go up.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's whether, I think it's actually whether or not Art Frost is any good, because Donk will just be good. I don't think you can be that good as a Rifler at the lower tier and not be good.
So you should care about this move, but not a huge amount.
Yeah, you should keep it in the back of your head.
This is a league pass team too. This is like absolutely a league pass team.
Yeah, they're a team that you'll want to watch them in some like lower tier tournaments just so you could like just impress your friends by knowing how good they are.
Well, because when they show up in the major, and they will show up in the major.
Well, we'll see.
Hopefully they show up in the major.
There's a lot of cool teams now. It's just
these motherfuckers. All right, let's talk about big. The German roster is no longer German. Kind of. A little not German. So this is I'm dubbing this one of two six-man rosters, even though I don't think it will eventually end up being a six-man roster. So Favin is off the team for paternity leave, which is why I don't think that this will end up being a six-man roster. But for now, he's still on the roster with the rest of the team. He's just not playing. So Mantu has been brought into the team, which is its own move on its own. And then Keto went to another team that we'll talk about in a bit, and Hyped went back to Big Academy, and they brought up Sin and Prosis from Big Academy. I really like Sin.
Yeah, we've seen him play. We know he's good. I know very little about Prosis.
I've seen him play as well in person. I do not remember him playing at all.
Yeah, he's the one where it's a bit of a question mark. But then there's... You know, Big have made this decision that they want to be German.
Well, they want to be German other than Mantu. And who, so they're speaking English.
Originally, they said he speaks German. And then their director came out and said he spoke English. And then Mantu responded to the tweet by saying, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm speaking German. Which I think was a joke. But I genuinely don't know.
I don't know
what or care is that much, to be honest.
I thought that Tabson came out and said they were speaking English, but fuck if I know at this point.
It was like one of the big directors came out and said they were speaking German. They will be speaking
some sort of language that is spoken in Western Europe.
Yeah.
They have no further comment than that.
They might be speaking fucking tongues or like it.
This move doesn't matter to me. I give zero shits about this move.
No, I don't think this move changes too much. Like Mantu is a good player, but
let's be very clear.
Be fucking Jesus to carry this team to top five.
I think Mantu is a good player. I think Sin's a good player, but like I don't think that they're huge upgrades, right? Like
no,
the big you have to put on a pedestal is like the 2020 middle of COVID absolute online gamers big, right? But like they're not that anymore. They haven't been that for 3 years. This move doesn't make them that again. They'll still be a middle of the pack team. They'll still be fine. They'll be fucking land frauds, but
they'll do what Big always do, and they'll be incredibly disciplined and hard to play against, but ultimately don't win very much.
They're not gonna fucking matter. Here's the problem: is that we talked about how like every team got better to a degree, or like yeah, every team that made a move. I don't think that there's a huge most teams that made moves better. Got like a little bit better. I don't think Big got better. I think this is a sideways move.
I think going from Hype to Mantu is such a big upgrade.
I think that's an upgrade,
that
but
probably
like
helps. No, I think it's a big upgrade. I don't think Hype is good at all.
No. I absolutely 1000% agree. Think it's a big upgrade. On the other hand, I just don't care about the upgrade.
No, but I think it might be enough to push them up a couple places, to be honest. But that's the extent.
All right. Let's talk about the first big move, the first new team that will actually be good. Let's talk about Falcons, which you and I have already declared.
This team is great fun. But
this team is going to be fucking great. So, team before was NBK, Body, Masuta, Python, and Kenny S. Retirement Run. Because it wasn't Kenny for a bit, it was someone else. And then they brought in Kenny to try and make the Paris Major. Because, of course, they did. So, they've gone international. It's NBK and Body, who you can decide on how you rate NBK and Body.
Body's been very good for a while.
Body's been pretty good. NBK has not been a bot, so take that as you will. They brought in Launx from Spirit. Sprout, not Spirit. I saw SP and then a T at the end and had a little dyslexia there. They brought in Launx from Sprout, who we've rated for a bit.
Yeah,
they brought in MHL from Endpoint, who I don't think has been bad. I don't think it's been amazing, but it's been...
I've heard strange things about him. Like, when I've watched him play, I've always thought he was quite good, and then I've heard people like say, oh, no, he's just not good at all. Like, he has these flaws. I'm like, okay.
And then they brought in Boros off his run at the major with Monty, where he absolutely showed that he's a world-class player. So they brought in
he's a world-class Mirage player.
Yeah, brought in two Endpoint folks. And here's the thing, is that they brought in two Endpoint and a Sprout person, right?
Yeah.
Those are teams in which absolutely have the qualifications of good players will come from us. Like, there will be solid players that come from the system, right? Endpoint has had really, really good players in the past that have gone on to do good things. Sprout has done it before. This team will be fun to watch. I cannot imagine this will be a top 10 team, but this team will be fun as fuck to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's always... I think Boros is one of those players who is just good to watch because he's so aggressive and he's so talented. Seriously, though, Body, Launx, Boros is a crazy rifle trio. That's so good. Like, that's better than NIP's rifle trio.
Well, we're about to get to a rifle trio in a second here.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a really good rifle trio. I really like it.
I think it's as good as any team outside the top six.
I think this team's gonna be fun to watch. So how much should you care about this move? A lot, actually.
More than you normally would care about a move like this, I think. Just because it's Boros. They must be paying Boros a fortune.
Yeah, so this is a Saudi-backed team, so I'd be willing to bet that there's a lot of money there.
Yeah, and like, he was wanted
by... He was
supported
by like every fucking team. Yeah. Like, I think Liquid went for Boros. To be fair, I think Liquid tried to get everyone. Liquid, I think EG asked about Boros.
EG definitely did, and a couple of other teams... OG tried to sign him.
Oh, we'll talk about OG. Weird team. I love it though. I'm in.
Should be fun. That team could quite easily be a like... They look like a team who will do well at a major or a big event at some point, but not consistently.
Yeah, that I think that's our prediction. They'll be a better version of Spirit.
They will be up and down, really up and down, but their ceiling is pretty high just because of Boros.
They have a really good spirit, yeah. Let's talk about another team with a ceiling. I still don't know what to make of this move, okay?
I'll help you.
I know for a fact that you have very certain feelings on this already, so let's talk about
Na'Vi. I don't even know who it is. Na'Vi.
So before you start talking... The lineup before was Simple, Bit, Electronic, Perfecto, and NPL. They have brought in, with Electronic and Perfecto leaving to Cloud9 and NPL being sent to B8. I am, from Gamer Legion, JL from Apex, and Alexi B from NIP.
What an insane team. And I don't mean necessarily insane as a positive, but a legitimately insane Fever Dream HLTV forum thread team.
Yeah. This it is makes like,
no sense.
This is like some guy who was like, wow, we need to get Symbol some help. What's the last tournament anyone played in? Who were the best people in that tournament? Yeah. Let's get those people. And then who's an IGL that could do this?
Who's an IGL? Let's get four a, moves who,
who's
well.
A free agent IGL? Alexi B? Great. We'll have him too.
My take on Alexi B is that you shouldn't have Alexi B in any team that you wouldn't put MSL in.
Okay.
If you want to overperform with okay to good talent, Alexi B is great. Alexi B with good to great talent, I'm less enthused about. What I also will say as well, you know, who were the best players at the major? JL actually wasn't that good. He was very hit and miss. When you watch him play, there's a lot of things that you like about him, but he does have games, and he did have games at the major where he went completely missing.
They could have grabbed Boros instead of JL, and then that would have actually...
Yeah,
I'll have
that team would have been genuinely insane. That team would make no sense whatsoever. Like, they will just be flying at teams.
I don't think this team makes sense as it is.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense.
Zero. On the other hand,
anytime you think about this team and how it's going to work, think about what positions they would play on each map and have an aneurysm.
So I saw something on, I don't know if it was Twitter, on Reddit, I saw something somewhere that basically was like, well, I wish what they did was instead of getting Alexi B from NIP, is that they brought in, I don't NSL. Know if it was specifically Alexi B. No, is they brought in an AWP player. And I know that sounds fucking weird because Simple is obviously a fantastic AWPer, but you move Simple to be your star rifle and secondary AWP, and you let a head trick or someone be the AWP player, and you give Simple more freedom and more of a pack than he
I
has with
the AWP. I have so many problems with this.
To be fair, I don't know what this team could have fucking done to become better.
So A, like, A, who in game leads that team? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. B, why would you ever take Simple off the AWP? I don't get it. He was for the entirety of 2021, he was a 1.45 player with the AWP. Don't take the AWP off Simple. C, Hedrick is a rifler who started AWPing. So if you're going to bring back Hedrick, you'd have him rifle. D.
D?
What AWPer do you even sign if it's not Hedrick? That's the only move that would make this make less sense if Alexi B wasn't in it for an AWPer. Let's sign Searson. Do you know what I mean? How would that fix any of the problems with this team? Who's going to be the bitch player in that team?
Here's the thing. If you said, okay, we're doing Simple, Bit, Electronic, Perfecto, MPL, right? How do we make this team better with one or two moves? There's no way. Like, the problem is they had to blow this team up, and they just blew it up and went in every direction possible.
Yeah.
That wasn't one continuous direction.
This team, I said this about Falcons on Twitter, but this team is genuinely just too weird to work. And I know that's not analysis. It doesn't mean anything. But deep down in your heart of hearts, it's true.
This team's too fucking weird.
But then I guess people thought the same of Vitality until we just watched them for a while, and then it was like,
normal. I was okay with Vitality.
Oh, I wasn't. But I was not okay with the original Vitality. With Spinks, they got obviously a lot better.
No, I was okay with the original Vitality as long as Zaiwu learned how to speak English, and that's happened, and we were good.
I guess nowadays being weird doesn't actually disqualify you from anything, because like Ent's still top five team.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Like, I can't figure out on pretty much any map where anyone plays.
Yeah,
like let's say Mirage is like I am in Con, JL short, Alexi B, Simple window, obviously Bit A. I guess that works. then like on Nuke, man, it just becomes really awkward. Like, I don't know where anyone plays.
I don't know where anyone plays ever on this team. How much does this matter? A metric shit ton.
Yeah, this team's insane. Like, I've literally no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
And that makes it really exciting.
This will be a team to watch because they may absolutely flounder and it'll be hilarious. They may be the best team in the world and it'll still be hilarious. Actually, I don't think they'll be the best team in the world.
Very excited for. We'll finally be able to understand what Simple is shouting at his teammates when he gets angry at them.
Good point, because he's speaking English now.
And he's going to be fucking livid as soon as this team doesn't work.
All right. Let's move on to NIP. We have a lot of these, so let's
move on. We need to go a bit faster, I think.
All right. NIP, very simple move. Minus Boy, Lexi Hampus. B, plus Hampus.
Massive upgrade.
Absolute upgrade. This is what this team should have been. I'm happy Hampus is like not injured anymore. I'm kind of happy this team waited to bring him back and said, we'll do it at the player break with Alexi B. Good. Happy. NIP will still be NIP.
Yeah, they're still doomed because they still only have Hampus as a good player, but they at least have Hampus as a good player now, which is nice.
Yeah. Do you care about this move? No.
No.
Absolutely not. Really. I've seen half of this team.
Yeah, I've seen most.
We've seen this entire team play together before.
I don't think a head trick was there, but yes.
Head trick and config, you can literally look back and go here and here. Great, done. Okay.
Yeah.
Astralis. This move is interesting. Bizarre.
Weird. I don't know what Altex has done wrong.
So move is minus Altex, minus Glaive, plus Borup, plus Stare. I don't know who's IGLing this team.
Blame F.
This is just heroic when they had a green logo. That's pretty much.
Yeah. Blame F's in game leading. He's done an interview with HLTV saying how it's going to affect his gameplay and stuff.
Good. I hope he stops baning.
Wow. We might see some picks fly. No, he was really good when he was entry, actually, on Complexity. But I don't think he'll make himself entry. Well, I just think Altex has been really hard done by. He came in for like 3 weeks. Had a couple of good games, then he had some bad ones.
Like
he had one of the best clips I've ever seen, that Deagle 4K on Nuke.
Yep. Here's the thing though, I rate Borup, I rate Stare. Like, they're both good players.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think that the Astralis organization is cursed.
And you think it's like a monkey's paw type deal?
Yeah, I just think they're not allowed to play well on Astralis. Because like on paper, this team kind of slaps, but
I don't understand keeping Buzz over Altex. I just don't.
Yeah, Buzz is a little weird.
I know he will. He's probably more willing to be a hard entry and whatever. But
I would have preferred we got a young Danish IGL that was not Blame F.
Yeah, like if there's any region where you can just pluck an IGL,
it's fucking Denmark.
It's probably Denmark. Fuck it, MSL and AZ to Astralis.
Should you care about this move?
If you're an Astralis fan, yes.
Otherwise,
if you're not, just wait until they do something to care.
Yeah. OG, super weird roster moves here.
I don't hate it as much as other people do. It's still not great, but
all right. Nexa back up from the bench. Fiku has stayed. Degster and Neofrag out. We'll talk about where Neofrag goes in a little bit. Nico's contract expired. Flamesy went to Vitality. They brought in Regali and hold on, because I had to write this down because it wasn't there when I did this originally.
Keto and Fasher.
Yeah, Keto and Fasher. I don't know what this move does.
So most people's problem with this team is they've got a team full of support players and nobody knows who the star is going to be. But so many players get pulled up from like tier 2, tier 3 and then moved into non-star roles and don't look good and people then write them off. Fasher on Ecstatic was insanely good. Fiku on AGO was a very good player who has become a very serviceable, actually, passive lurk type. Like, when you look at the positions he gets on T-side and stuff, like, they're not nice. Like, they're not spots that you're going to get loads of kills on. And he's been pretty serviceable, which is, I think, why OG quite like him. Like, he does his job. Nexa, I'm a bit worried that he's going to make himself a star. I'd rather see Fasher or Fiku given a chance to actually be a star player and see what they can do at this level, because we've not really. Keto, I actually do like as a player.
Yeah, but I think Kido is the only person on this team who should actually be a support player after all of this. He's the only person who should stay being a support player.
And we spoke to Ricali on Inside. We did an interview with him, and that guy is, he has a lot of self-belief, and when you watch him play, it's quite easy to tell why. Like that kid is very, very good. A lot of people are saying this team is doomed. I don't think it's doomed at all. I think there's a chance they can actually be good.
Yeah, I have many questions.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a chance that they're like the 100th best team in the world.
Yeah, the problem is like
the gambles work. But.
There are many questions. I don't know what the questions are.
I actually think that sums it up really well.
Like,
it's not I don't know what the answers are. I don't even know what questions to ask. Yeah, no, that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's just like I don't understand. I got anything.
Loads of questions, but I don't know any of them.
But I don't know what they are. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Mousesports. There are two sets of moves here. There's one that we saw coming from about 10,000 miles away, which is the minus Dexter plus Suhi move. Then the move that was a little bit more surprising, which is minus JDC plus Gym Impact. I think that's how you pronounce
it. I think it's Gym Fat.
Gym Fat?
I think so, but I'm not certain.
Finnish guy, super long name, J at the beginning. A lot of M's.
I'm a bit baffled. I thought JDC would get a few months more at least. Like, yeah, his numbers are bad. Yeah, he is a little bit raw, let's say. But he kind of passes the eye test for me personally. And that mouse scene was quite dysfunctional. I would have liked to have seen Suhi basically getting
the
Exertion and JDC.
Yeah.
Keep frozen. Yeah. See what he can do. Then maybe bring up Gym Fat. But clearly the mouse guys like Gym Fat. And Suhi can seemingly work with anyone. So
I have had a lot of questions about Mousesports over the last couple of years. The main team, not the academy team, the main team. Academy team obviously produces bangers. And I'm at a point where the main team is basically just the academy team, like where all the staff have moved up, right? And there's got to be a point in which I start to have faith in Mouse again to make correct managerial decisions.
Yeah.
And they watched JDC play for like, 2.5 years now between academy and main team. And they watched Gym Fat play for like 8 months, a year now, right? On academy. And there's got to be a point in which you go, we've seen all we have out of JDC. Yeah. We need to try something different. I don't generally like putting props onto an org that has fucked us over before. But
yeah.
I see where they're coming from.
Simultaneously, they also watched Suhi play for a year and Dexter for a year and decided Dexter was the better gamble. So
yeah, so we had a couple of takes. Mouse is overrated until they drop Torzi.
I want to see Torzi under Suhi. I don't. Look, we saw Acor under Dexter, and then we saw him under Suhi. If he can just turn Torzi, Torzi clearly got worse the longer he played with Dexter.
And then Gym Fat will be shit for at least a few months if they stick him in JDC's roles.
Yeah.
Which I believe 1,000%. I think this team is a top 15 team. I cannot imagine pushing them much higher unless something
clicks. They could be a top 10 team. They could
I think that they could get there. I think to start they'll be a top 15 team. I think they'll be good. I just don't think they'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of teams who will be good but not amazing, which is my everyone hates this take for today. Furia.
Best team in the world.
They've removed Safe. They've removed Drop. They added Cello, who everyone in Brazil rates.
Cello's so good, man. No, he's so good.
No. I agree. I said everyone in Brazil because we're doing Brazil. Yeah,
no, he's him. Everyone in Brazil rates. He's him.
And they added Fallen, who said he was going to retire at the end of the year, and obviously
Get him in. I'm on board. I'm on board with this roster 100%. There is so much ability on this team. KSRato Cello is like, they're probably the two best riflers in the country. Maybe Dumao.
It may be the best rifle core, like one of the best rifle cores in the world.
It could be.
Caserato, Yuri, Cello.
Cello is so gifted. He's so good. And Fallen will just get respect and they will just listen to it. I really want this team to be good. I would love nothing more than for this Furia team to be really good.
We saw a return to form Fallen a couple months ago, right, with Imperial. We saw him like get the gloves back on, start fighting again. I actually think that this move is a really good move. I just not for the reason that I think everyone is like advertising it to be. Because everyone's like, oh yeah, you took away drop and safe and added Fallen, who's a really good opper, and Cello, who's a really, really good rifler, right? I think this move unlocks art. Because you now have...
Yeah, he will finally not be tied down. He won't be forced to wear a muzzle. What do you mean? He's already just running at him.
No. Because Art has been IGLing this team for years and years and years, right? And now you put in Fallen systems, as Fallen's IGLing systems, with Art playing your aggressive entry frag. So you can basically use Art the same way Yekindar used to be on Virtus Pro.
Yeah.
That, like... ultra uber aggressive, continuously aggressive, right? Which is what Art wants to do, but he doesn't have to worry about calling around himself entering. That's all on Fallen now, who is the blueprint of the IGL op player, which is what Art used to be, right?
Yeah.
Before they brought in Henny. I like this. It's a good move.
I love it. I mean, they spent far too much money to do it, but I still love it.
Oh yeah. They spent like ridiculous amounts of money. Quick note. All of Brazil, that was a roster change. I don't want to get into it because there's about seven teams in Brazil and all of them move players around. But for what it's worth, Fluxo had moves. Pain Trio moved to Fluxo. MIBR brought in Drop and Safe. Imperial exists.
Henny and Phelps.
I think, yeah.
Henny and Phelps.
All over the place.
We 2017 again, boys.
Yeah, go... And they got reunited with like Zach, who's the coach, who was the coach from the Immortal Squad in 2015. Like
he then went to 9Z, I think.
No, Zach's still on. I don't know. Go look. There is a ridiculous amount of moves that happened within Brazil. We could have had our own podcast on Brazil itself, but we are at the hour and 2 minute mark, and we still have like three or four more teams to talk about.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna skip all Brazil. Just know a lot happened.
Yeah.
Into the bin. Volt and Cypher are gone. We'll talk about where Cypher goes in a minute. And Volt also is going somewhere. I just don't remember where it is off the top of my head. They've added Bemis and Neofrag. They're officially...
Neofrag's going to farm the tears into the breach play.
I'm happy Bemis is getting a new outlook.
Yeah, I've always kind of liked Bemis. I have no idea how good he actually is, but I've always thought, like, when you watch him, he's nice to watch. He does make some... questionable decisions sometimes.
Yeah, this will be a fun team to watch. The most like even move I've ever seen. I don't think this team got any better. Fnatic minus Nikodas and Fasher, and they've added Dexter and Afro.
I hate that move.
I legitimately think this may be the only move that will make them a worse team.
It might make them better because Mezzi doesn't have no longer in game leading.
Yeah,
but I just don't rate Dexter.
The other sixth man move is adding Mir as a sub on Virtus Pro.
We're going to win everything.
I think that this is absolutely awesome. Norbert is hurt right now, right? I think is what it is.
Yeah, he's got like a wrist injury, I think.
And so they're bringing in Mir for now.
But on a long-term contract.
Yeah.
I think they might replace Kika with Norbert.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I wrote a six-man move, that's why I introduced it as that, is because Mir signed like a 2 or 3 year contract with VP to be a sub. And normally that's not a thing.
Yeah.
TSM, never heard of them. New team, like Jax, Cypher.
Inters. I don't know who the other two are.
It's a weird rumored team. I'm in for it.
Cypher, Inters, Jax. I don't get it.
See, here's the thing. I just want to see Cypher play more. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be on this TSM team. But
maybe it's going to be good. Maybe the other two are going to be showstoppers.
Yeah. Do you remember where Volt is going? Because I know it's not the last team on the list.
No.
I could.
Maybe he's going to TSM as well.
Maybe. All right, and the last team is America's absolute fucking hope, which is M80, which is bringing in the fucking best team I've ever seen from America. Wolfie, who many of you may or may not know. Wreck, Manx, who's Danish and an opper and just like weird.
He's an in-game leader.
Oh, he's the IGL? Oh, he's fantastic. IGL. Even better. Yeah, yeah. And then the two stars, Swisher and Malbs. And they're being coached by fresh off Valorant Depth.
Yeah, so.
I love it.
So Manx, if you don't know who he is, he was the in-game leader of Ecstatic.
Also where Wolfie came from, for what it's worth.
Okay. I'm not sure I knew that.
Used to be on Ecstatic.
You're right, okay.
The old Ecstatic.
Ecstatic are a... like, they often like break the top 30. They're like a 25 to 50 bracket team, which for the amount of money they spend is really good. And none of their players are that good. Yeah, they're owned by Zip.
Yeah.
None of their players are that good, and they consistently get it into that like tier, which makes me think personally that Manx is probably really, really good. Because when you watch them, they look like a good team, but none of their players are insane. We did an interview with him on the Insight channel, actually, if you want to know more about him. But yeah, this team...
plug in your other podcast.
Well, you know. It wasn't me who did the interview.
I almost just spit my drink out of my mouth as I said that.
yeah, so... Malbs, everyone who knows me knows I think he's really good. Swisher, all Americans think he's really good.
He's legitimately very good.
I've never been that impressed.
No, I don't care if you've been impressed or not.
I don't think they thought they were going to get Swisher. I don't think anyone did, because the rumors were always that he was going to move upwards, whereas M80
to Liquid.
Kind of an upwards move, in theory. Like, this team
could
be pretty good.
Wreck used to be on B-Hop and Strife and Rebirth, he was on ATK for like literally a month. Most recently, though, importantly, he was on Yur, which was the team that got out of the North American RMRs like real early to the bigger RMR that had like Classia, Dirty, Montana, and a couple other people on it. Wreck is really fun. I really like Wreck. Malbs. Like,
oh yeah, Malbs is.
We don't need to talk. I swear.
Malbs.
If we have talked enough about a single player on this podcast, it may be Malbs.
Yeah, I love the kid. I think he's so good. This is a good big opportunity for him.
This team's gonna be so weird, so interesting. I'm so in. And I think this is our last move.
I can't think of any more.
But fuck if we remember. There's like a million different moves that were like lower down, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff. But this is where we're gonna leave it for now. We will be back next week.
Yeah.
We will be talking about I guess Blast is going on next week. Yeah, Blast.
Yeah,
Blast.
I think it's going on till the 23rd.
Yeah, so Blast, we'll talk about Blast Premier Fall next week. We'll talk about what happened this week. Vitality obviously beat up on EG, but after that point, we'll talk about the rest. Until that point, you can find us on Twitter at LoadingRampUp, at AZAsking, at ReadTDR, and we'll see you later.